Welcome to the podcast where we combine Clifton strengths, God's word, and mindset coaching to discover how to use our talents for God's kingdom. Are you living in the virtue of your strengths? Learn how you can better name, claim, and tame your Clifton strengths so they can be aimed towards God's glory. Folks, welcome to the Living in the Virtues of Your Strengths podcast. My name is Matt Ingold. I'm with Metanoia Catholic. I'm a certified Gallup Clifton Strengths coach. And here at the Living in Your Virtue of Your Strengths podcast, we explore what that means. What does it mean to live our strengths virtuously that have great impact on the kingdom, great impact on our souls, and our understanding of our unique vocation in our lives here. Very exciting stuff here. So this is the first episode of a series of episodes, and our goal here is to help people in the church to apply the strengths to their, whatever it is, to their family life, to their ministry, to their parish. There's some amazing things that are going on where people are starting to apply Clifton strengths, Gallup Clifton strengths, to the parishes. And this has been employed in businesses, Fortune 500 companies for years now, and helping people to discover and claim and do what they do best on a regular basis in the workplace. Well, we say, why just confine it to the workplace? Why not bring it into the church? Why not bring it into kingdom building activities? Because there's much work to do. So we're going to dive into in this first episode to really getting an understanding of what's the goal, what's the ambition here of this particular podcast, right? How is it going to be helpful for you in applying strengths in your own life in a virtuous way? That a virtuous way, meaning one that inclines you not to just be the best version of yourself, but to become a saint in the process, right? And living out your personal vocation. And then also, like, just give a little bit of the structure, lay a bit of a backdrop as to how we're going to be having this virtue conversation. I'm going to be talking a little bit today about a Catholic anthropology, what that means, but also we're going to be introducing a little bit on John Paul II's personalism. Okay. So if you haven't heard of those things before, I'll be sharing a little bit about that. And then we're going to open up the floor to give it people on the call here, because this is the live call that we do inside the Metanoia Catholic Academy, which is our community that we have. It's a coaching community that we have for people that want to grow in discovering and living out their unique calling in life. We call it the unique call to sanctity. You may have heard of it called the vocation, the unique vocation that we all have in our lives. But the strengths call is one of those offerings that we have inside of the academy. All right. So Lord, be with us in our time here and help us to live virtuously in our strengths. Okay, a little bit of an introduction to strengths. I know there's some people on the call that have never heard of it before. Well, I like to start with a story, right? This is one of the stories that I actually heard at my Gallup certification. I love the story. I think it really illustrates why Clifton Strengths, right, answers that question well. Tell that story, and then I'll tell a personal story on really how I came to fall in love with it too, because I imagine there's other strengths nerds that are on this call that have their own personal stories, and maybe we'll have an opportunity at the end of the call here or later on in some follow-on podcasts to share some of those. But the speed reading story, maybe some of you have heard this before, but 1950s, Don Clifton is a consultant in Nebraska, and he's been brought in by a school district to help below average readers to get to the average, to improve their reading comprehension, their ability to read well. And so at this point, they're reading at about 90 words per minute. Okay, so these are people that are rising from their freshman to their sophomore year. And they say, we want to introduce this 6-week speed reading program to see if we can get people to improve their reading comprehension scores. And so Don Clifton says, you know what, why don't we give it to everybody? Not just the below average readers, let's give it to everybody. And they're like, it's kind of expensive, why would we do that? And they're like, just trust me, let's see what happens. Okay, so what happened at the end of the 6-week reading, speed reading course? They found that those people that were classified as below average readers that were reading about 90 words per minute were now reading at 160 words per minute. That's amazing. That's like nearly doubling their reading with comprehension. But they weren't the only ones that took this test. The above average performers, those children that were reading, or those kids, those teenagers that were reading at 300 words per minute, also saw a little bit of improvement, but it wasn't nearly doubling. After the 6-week program, those high-performing readers at 300 words per minute were now reading at 2,900 words per minute. Do the math quick. That's nearly 10xing, 10 times where they were. Now, what's the difference? They took the same course, same six-week program. What's the difference? Don Clifton looked at this and this set him out on a mission saying, why are we investing all this time and helping people to improve their areas of weakness just to get them to kind of at like a tolerable level? Why aren't we investing and helping people to invest in their areas of natural giftedness, their areas of natural talent? And that's really what spawned his study that has led us to where we are with Clifton Strengths. So what Clifton Strengths is it recognizes that people, all of us, every single one of us has been imbued to have just habitual ways that we think, feel, and act that can be applied productively. So the way that this test is typically employed is in a work setting, but certainly has some applications we've found in family life, in church settings. Certainly they're having some success there. I did a podcast on the Catholic Coaching Podcast where I interviewed Father Bill Hansen, who's a certified Clifton Strengths coach. And for 20 years, he's been employing this at his parish, and it's had amazing effects. Turned a bankrupt parish around to having $125,000 surplus every single year, increase the engagement level from an average of 29%, which actually he started out at 32%, up to 54%. Typically, the average is 29%. So he nearly doubled, I want to say almost, but like 80%, whatever it was. I can't do the math. But he increased his engaged population in the parish. And what's amazing about that? What they found statistically is that people that are engaged at the parish, and they're engaged predominantly because they're discovering what they do best, and they're being given a place in the parish to do what they do best on a regular basis, to show up as a gift on a regular basis. Who doesn't want to be a gift? More on that to come. But they're getting an opportunity to do this at the parish. And what happens when people are engaged at the parish? They're also spiritually engaged, which means that they have a regular prayer life. They feel a connectedness. They feel a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus. Isn't that all what it's all about here, folks? So if we want people to have that personal engagement, what they're finding through Clifton Strengths and strengths-based parishes is that when you create opportunities for people to do what they do best, to show up in their areas of giftedness, first discover where they are gifts, and they name it, they claim it, and then they aim it, there's beautiful things, beautiful fruits that happen. And his is only one testimony of where that has certainly worked. Now, personal story where I first came to love strengths. So I had a friend of mine who introduced me to strengths, and we like personal development. We already had Metanoia Catholic started. We're a Catholic personal development company, right? And we had loved the temperaments and those personality tests. And my father had taken this test before. Work had administered to inform, but he said it was really helpful. So I thought, yeah, what the heck? I had a friend of mine that also, she gave me even a book and a code. You can actually, if you haven't taken the test yet, you can buy one of those Clifton Strengths. I can't remember the name of it. It's a 2.0 version, but they come with a code to be able to take the test. And so if you want the cheapest way to take the test, which is retails right at $50 to take the test, to get your full 34 report, you can get one of those books for much cheaper and have the code and get that full 34 report, or at least I think it's a full 34. And that price is going to go up in future. So take the test now if you want to get the cheapest possible. Okay. So introduced it, loved it, read my full report, which some of you have probably read it and been like, wow, this person knows me. I feel so seen by my top 10, right? Well, I started to invite other people in one of my businesses to take this. And there was one young lady who we had doing a lot of administrative work, a lot of heads down, kind of clerical work, copying and pasting, moving stuff around. It was in virtual Catholic conference. She was building our conferences for us. And she's doing a great job, beautiful cultural fit for the company. And she started to share with me that she was really having to kind of psych herself up to do some of the work. It was kind of painful for her. It's just like she wasn't running to the work that we had for her to do. She felt more inclined actually to join group conversations, and she wanted to be in on meetings, which really we just did not have a place for her in some of those settings. And so when I saw her strengths and I started to see how
the work that we had her doing, I had a thought in my head. It's just like, I don't know if she's really going to last in this role. I don't think this is really utilizing all of her areas of God-given giftedness. And sure enough, she ended up resigning and moving on to something else. Well, I said, you know what? The next time I'm going to hire somebody to fill this role, I want to make sure that the strengths, the natural talents are things where they're actually inclined to do this work. There's a desire that's already there to do this work. And so we went through a process where I actually had people take this test and we looked at it. We went over the scores with people, kind of saw how they actually experienced living in some of those strengths. And we ended up hiring somebody that had strengths of high responsibility, high discipline, high focus, a lot of high execution strengths. Those things that when you expect somebody to work head down and get the work done as quickly and efficiently as possible, you'd expect to find some of those natural habits associated with those signature themes, right? We'll talk more about those themes. Well, after I brought her on and she, again, great cultural fit, I remember giving her a conference to put together. Now, this previous employee, it'd taken her roughly 2 weeks or so to put the conference together. And there's various things that went into putting the conference together, but there was a lot of moving parts, copying, pasting that was going on. And I remember it was a Saturday morning, got this young lady, this new young lady up to speed and sent her on her way. And it's thinking, okay, we're going to have this thing done in 2 weeks. Great. We're on time. 6 o'clock that evening, 8 hours later, she sends me a text. She goes, I'm done. What do you have for me to do next? And I just thought, like, what do you mean you're done? Like, she's like, I'm done. I looked in, she was done. She had moved all, like, she had moved everything over that she needed to do. She created this conference and it happened so quickly. And I was thinking to myself, wow, just all of that. I was just blown away by what happens when you pair up task and talents. And I love what Father Bill Hansen said on our podcast together. When you pair up task and talents, you never work a day in your life. Well, there's something that's beautiful here too. When you pair up gifts with a poverty, there's something beautiful that takes place. Not only is there like a fruitfulness and you accomplish, you fill a poverty, but there's a communion that takes place. There's a fecundity that takes place. There's a fruitfulness that comes forth from it. And when we start to live in and step into what St. Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ, we start to identify that individual member that we are in the body of Christ and we choose to live by it. Folks, it's amazing. The body functions as it should. There's no envy. And just kind of read through this for people that are listening on the podcast or watching here. Don't close your eyes here and fall asleep. And we're a little scripture here, but it lays a beautiful backdrop if you've never heard this before. So first Corinthians 14 through 18, we're reading here. Okay. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many, right? And St. Paul's talking about the body of Christ. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. And he goes on to talk even about how there's these parts of the bodies that one would call lesser, but they are not lesser in dignity. They are still essential to the overall operation of the body of Christ. And some of us may be tempted to look, understanding the strengths that we have and the dispositions and our temperament and all the stuff coming together, our state in life, and say, I have a very small part to play, but it is no less significant in dignity to the body than the Pope and his contribution to the body of Christ. Every single one of us has a very dignified vocation, a beautiful vocation, a personal, a unique vocation. There's not everybody even running around as feet. Even the people that are running out around as feet, they're all individual feet. They're unique in some capacity. And there's something that's very dignifying with this. And so as we read through this, what we want to explore with this podcast and help you to explore is this question, which part of the body are you? What part of the body of Christ are you? where this podcast is unique, right? Why this podcast and why this group study? I think ultimately it's because our gifts and our natural talents are ours to steward. What does that mean? When we're a steward of something, we don't own it. Rather, it's been gifted to us by another. Right? You think about the parables of the stewards, right? The wealthy landowner that leaves and leaves talents with stewards has some direct application, certainly, to what we're talking about here today. But those talents don't become the stewards. In fact, there's for the one that didn't use those talents, they're taken away, right? And given to the ones that actually use those things. So even the natural areas of giftedness that we have, we may be inclined to think that they're ours. But what we find is when people actually take that mindset that these are mine, they don't steward them well. Rather, they hoard them. They approach them with a scarcity mindset. They bury those talents as the wicked steward does in the Gospels. So we want to explore, what does it mean to be stewards of these talents? And the thing that's beautiful here, folks, is when we learn how to be stewards of these talents, recognizing that they're gifted to us by God so that we might share in the master's joy, as those good stewards were able to do when they came and they brought these stewarded well, these talents given to them. When they start to live these things out virtuously, there is a beautiful impact that happens, not only to the body of Christ, but also to our very souls. There's a number of podcasts that are out there that will tell you about the signature themes. And I invite you to go check those out. All right. There's a lot of coaches that are out there. Some of my favorites are Talented Titan. It's, why am I drawing a blank? On his Simon, Aaron, what's his name? Simon Hurry. Oh, and he's got the Celebrate series where he goes through it's on Spotify. It's a great podcast. I love that. I mean, certainly going to everything. What's that? Yeah, I mean, just be mindful that there's some language that's in that one. Okay, so maybe you just, if that's okay with you, then you can get past some of that. He certainly has some insights there. But there's not a whole lot of podcasts that I'm finding that really present the strengths through the lens of what it means to be human in a Catholic understanding, through a lens of applying in kingdom building and virtue building efforts. We really want to explore in this podcast what it means to live virtuously, okay? And right now, with the way that Gallup will explore, say, they kind of toe the line, I think. We don't necessarily say virtue, but they'll talk about things like overuse patterns, or they'll talk about strengths showing up as weaknesses. Now, I think this has a great relative value to insert a little bit of a metric and recognize that sometimes our strengths show up in ways that can be counterproductive, or they can be ways, as when they show up as weaknesses, defined as not contributing to the success of the team. Okay. But if we look at it, we make it not about weaknesses, not contributing to the success of like a worldly endeavor. And I don't say worldly endeavor as if it's like something that's bad there, but just an endeavor on this side of heaven, right? But rather, if we look at it as something that is inclining us towards vice versus virtue, I think where these things kind of miss the mark is whether or not our strengths are showing up as a weakness or as a strength. Our talents, I say, are showing up as a weakness or a strength can be somewhat of an arbitrary determination, meaning it's a bit relativistic. What I love about framing the conversation about virtue is tied to a supreme good. And we're talking about virtue in the Christian sense. We're talking about the supreme good of God. And God is unchanging. And so now we have this defined and unchanging metric of what the good is, that we can hold up our strengths, our talents, and see how we're showing up. And is it something that's conforming to this supreme goodness, or is it something that's leading away from the supreme goodness? Because we can accomplish amazing things with our God-given talents here on earth. But if they're not growing us in virtue, if they're not inclining us to receive more of God's grace, then we fall into that trap of what good is it for a man to obtain the whole world, but to not have, you know, God's grace, to not have love, does not have God's charity in this, does not have faith in all of this. there's something very sad about that. But however, if we show up and bring our faiths, having our talents to be actually shaped into something that is virtuous, now they can be made in a very beautiful contribution, not only in ways that are fruitful, perhaps even on this side of heaven, but they actually build up treasures in heaven, we could say, but also they make us saints in the process, and they help us to live out our God-given vocation, one that we can only achieve with all the grace that God wants to give us. Virtue inclines us, disposes us to receive, be able to receive more of God's grace. Okay. So we're talking here about living in our God-given vocation. Ultimately, we talk about God-given vocation that will always need grace, and virtue disposes us to receive more grace. So it goes to say, if we learn to live our talents virtuously, because goodness gracious, they can go vicious. We know that Adolf Hitler was probably very high in significance. He was probably very high in communication. He's probably very high in self-assurance. But we know that the fruits were absolutely disastrous in those areas. And so it goes when we have our areas of natural talent, when we show up viciously in those things, there's much at stake. But on the flip side, when we can show up very virtuously, when we can actually show up virtuously in a way that disposes us to receive God's grace, oh my goodness, it's more than just a 10x effect. We're building up treasure in heaven. We're actually participating in something that is supernatural at that point. And it's an amazing thing. We love this quote. It's on our homepage for our website at catholiccoaching.com. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which he has not committed to another. Words from St. John Henry Newman. All right. So when we're talking vocation here, right, I want to expand here our definition even of vocation, because oftentimes we can think of prayer for vocations. What does it mean? Pray for more priests. No, it's not just praying for people to enter into a specific state in life, or as if we don't have a vocation if we don't get called to the religious life, or if we don't get called to marriage. Those are just part aspects of a vocation. But there's a vocation that each one of us has that is specific to a very unique expression of the Imago Dei, the image and likeness of God in which we were created. And that's much less about doing something, and it's much more about being, becoming something. When we become who we are, as St. John Paul II says, gosh, like that's where we don't even have to think about doing, we just are. And it's amazing. It's amazing when we just be in our family, when we just be in our parish, when we just be in our work life, when we can just be in God's kingdom. And I love the way that strengths can help to actually help people discover what that means. Amazing book that I picked up recently, and I invite you all to consider this, to really grow in an understanding and unpack this expansive understanding of what it means to have a unique vocation. That book is called Unrepeatable by Luke Burgess and Josh Miller. Josh Miller is over at Franciscan University doing some amazing things right now to help people discover their primary motivations. I think the M-Code is one of the kind of assessments that he has. Erin's taken it. I have not taken it yet, but she says it's pretty amazing, amazing stuff here. Okay. So before we get into this, I want to open the floor up to you, for people, to the fellow strengths nerds that are already out there, to be able to come in here, raise your hand. I will unmute you. But here's the question. What has been your experience of Clifton Strengths and coming to understand your vocation, your unique call to strength? Doesn't mean that you have to have it all figured out right now. But even if it's just a little bit of your own experience of Clifton Strengths, when you first read that report and you felt perhaps seen by your report, as so many people have said. What do we got here, folks? Somebody raise their hand. I know we got some strengths nerds that are out there. What has been your experience of Clifton Strengths and coming to understand your vocation? All right, we got a hand raised. Justin, come on, man. Share your screen if you'd like.
I help to unmute myself.
There you go.
All right. Hey. Yeah, so I think I took the test, I don't know, it was like 4-ish years ago or so. And yeah, just going in there and seeing that things that I always thought were weird about me, things I knew I could do, but were not things that normally people could do, but it didn't occur to me that that was, you know, they use the term superpower, which to me just kind of made it click that, no, this isn't only something that you do. It is something that you do exceptionally well, and other people don't do that, or aren't as, don't naturally do that. But really what it tied together for me was that, you know, the inverse is true for others. There are things they're exceptionally gifted at that I'm not, but that doesn't make me lesser than them, which is, you know, something I kind of struggle with naturally. But to see that, you're speaking of gift, which is just an amazing way of looking at it, that, you know, I do have a gift, and it's kind of a unique gift. It's not so unique that no one else has it, but it is unique enough that chances are there are people in my life who don't have it and will need it, and that it's then okay for me to rely on them for those things that I don't have. And just the ability to appreciate myself and others for who we actually are, you know, no more and no less, was just such a great starting point for me, that the test itself, and then reading about it, and then as you dig into to more and more, they just a ringing example of, or a ringing theme that comes through in everything, you know, around this concept of strength and positive psychology. So
Justin, you got a favorite way that you've got a favorite signature theme that shows up in your life?
Well, my number one is in elections. So, and that's undoubtedly true for me. Me and my mind are my own best friend often, and I can sit and thinking about things, and that's fine. And then, another one that's high for me is, empathy, which, is often referred to as the Spidey sense theme. And it's one that I didn't even realize was what you consider a strength, but, you know, I'd have these situations where I'm sitting in a meeting or a training, and, the presenter says, okay, does anybody have any questions? And, you know, there's dead silence in the room, but I see someone kind of shift in their chair. Or I see someone just kind of take half a breath, or they kind of look sideways at someone, but don't say anything. And I'm like, half this room is confused right now. I just know it. And I'll raise my hand and just ask some sort of dumb question or whatever, just for the sake of asking what I think people are confused about. And more often than not, scarily, I'm right. So, those are two of the ones that kind of fascinate me the most.
And they come back to you and they say, Justin, thank you so much. Were you in my head? Or something like that.
Sometimes,
like, you see the empathy and the intellection working together there.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
So it's interesting, Justin. One of the things that I heard you say was there's these gifts that I think a lot of people have, and, you know, perhaps I'm not the only one that has them, but the way that they come forth, the way that they manifest, are very unique to you, and nonetheless, you know, and it's just like we always see through the lens of our dominant themes. And for somebody to have those dominant themes in the same order, your top five in the same order, it's like what one in 33 million or something crazy.
Yeah,
like that.
I know to like to get someone who exactly matches like your whole 34 is like just short of astronomical. But
yeah, you know, it's like
even the top five impossible. In the same order is pretty mathematically unlikely.
Yeah. So somebody that wants to do the math, right, that wants to pull out their calculator and remembers how to do permutations, yeah. Right? If you want to do 34 times 33 times 32 times 31, right. Like all the way down to, like, you know, you do that 10 times over. That number is what you're going to, is like statistically what you would have to, you know, the likelihood of you having your top 10 in the same order. Folks, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Sean, I see you coming on here. Do you want to share a little bit?
Hi, Matt. I'm so glad you're doing this. This is just, it is such, this was eye-opening for me. I took, and I started working with a Clifton Strengths coach, our in-house Michelle Dunn, and the Metanoia Catholic, the Temperaments, and now Clifton Strengths. And it's like peeled back curtains and saying, oh, okay. And the things that maybe in your family, in my family, I was sometimes, you know, and this, we're all dealing with our childhood, right? You know, and at any age. And one of the things that I found was that, oh my goodness, some of my strengths were actually irritating to some other family members. But it didn't, you know, because it was a collision a little bit with them. But it wasn't because, and so in this process, I've learned how to either refine those strengths or not think that I was bad. It's just that sometimes our strengths are utilized in certain circumstances in better ways and in other circumstances, you know, and that's what I'm working with the, having just taken the, I mean, I took it months ago, but what I'm saying is for those of people who haven't taken the, I know you're going to share this with others, and I'm, Justin, I appreciate what you said, because I'm doing it right now. I'm asking the question that I'm thinking other people who are like new to this, because it's a little overwhelming. So you can get your worksheet, but until you kind of work with it and unearth it and practice it, just because you look at the sheet doesn't mean you know it all or how to implement it. And so I'm so delighted you're doing this work, Matt. And but anyway, I found some of the things that I used to be embarrassed about that were natural strengths, because I think, oh, I should, you know, rein that in. Instead, I just know there's a time and a place, and sometimes that's really beneficial, and other times people are on a need-to-know basis.
That's amazing. And just like, what freedom to be able to know that there's a time and a place. And these things, again, just like the temperaments, like just because we have these natural inclinations doesn't mean that they have a will of their own and we lose our own will. And we're not ultimately the custodians of these things. And so when people start to use these things as labels, it's like, oh, that's just my cleric showing up, or oh, that's just my command showing up. And I just kind of piss people off, and this is what I do. We're choosing at that point to not take responsibility, but also to kind of live in that shadow side, because these things are meant to be gift. And I love how you brought up that, like, oftentimes we can experience living in our strengths or living in our talents as a collision, right? There's a collision that's taking place, but a collision is much different from a communion, right? And when we live in these things virtuously, we can really enter into a beautiful communion with these things. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
May I say one last thing was, I'm really, really grateful that you're bringing it with the virtues, that you are pairing it with us understanding our
I'm going to be
Catholic
a student
Christian
of it myself.
Virtues. That coming together of that work has been a game changer for me. Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah. No, I'm excited about it too, because I'm number one learner. And guys, like, yeah, I'm doing some preparation, but we're all jumping in the teacher seat at some point on this call. And I'm already learning back from your unique experiences and perspectives here. And the people that are listening in the podcast that aren't in this fun group that we've got, you can join this group, join the Metanoia Catholic Academy. You can jump in here, but like, this is, we're going to be teaching, right, from a lot of different lenses of experience. Okay, Jane, I want to bring you on because you got your hand raised, and then we're going to kind of press forward with some other items here. Go ahead, Jane.
Good morning. The first time I heard, I actually did my strength test back before COVID, but I didn't really know what it is. And then I was at a conference last September, and somebody said, you have woo, that's really amazing. So then that's when I kind of like, oh, what is woo? Like, I don't know what woo is. And as I discovered, the thing I love about the strengths is how unique that we talked about, you know, they're the DNA, right? The, it just like chemistry, like you switch H2O and you take an H out of there and it becomes something different. And so what I'm trying to say is like, I'm acknowledging the fact of my strengths together. Like my ninth strength is belief and my 10th strength is connectedness. And I see that as my bow. Like I always see everything being connected. I see everything. Oh, that's how, of course that had to happen. And so it's just really fascinating of really understanding. And then also then just the whole, you talked about the lower strengths, right? Like I don't need to be, my 34th is harmony. Like I don't need to be harmonious. That's not my strength. If I can stay up in the top 10 and focus, like you talked about the reading, the speed reading, the good readers maximize, if I can maximize my top 10, then I don't have to worry about trying to become harmonious, which is my 34th. I can allow someone else who is harmonious to come into my sphere and be harmonious where I can't be. So that's right. That communion. I have to ditto with Sean. This is the game changer. How do we become saints through our strengths? That's the game changer with how do we acknowledge our vices? How do we recognize the basement and choose to be virtuous and pursue the virtue and truly become the light that God is calling us to be. So thank you for this work. Thank you.
I love it. Yeah. No, thank you for everybody for participating in this. And I love Justin just threw a comment in there. I've yet to meet anyone with woo that doesn't love that they have woo. We talk about phenomenology, right? That phenomenon, yet to experience somebody with woo that doesn't love their woo. Okay. I'm going to jump back into the presentation here because I want to lay the backdrop here. And thank you so much for that, you guys. When we talk about living our strengths virtuously, and this is what the structure of these calls is going to go about. When we do these podcast calls, we're going to have a main focus. So that main focus is either going to be like, we're going to focus on the domain, like the relationship domain. We're going to talk about that. Or we're going to focus on this signature theme, you know, of woo or of significance or something like that, and kind of get into a little bit of the Gallup definitions. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in coming to understand what they are. We wanted, because there's plenty of podcasts that are already out there that are doing that. We'll touch on that. We'll learn from that, from people sharing their experiences of it. But I do want to talk about some ways that perhaps we may be inclined to live virtuously in those signature themes, or perhaps even inclined to like some of those overuse patterns of vice. And this is where I love where the mindset coaching comes in, because what we find is that the difference between living virtuously or living viciously often comes down to a thought that's at the root of what's driving, what's the ultimate motivation that's driving it, right? Because we can have our habitual ways of thinking, feeling, and acting, which are just our signature themes, what Gallup calls talents or signature themes, that can be driven by fear, or we can have it being driven by love, right? Fear is always going to lead us to vice. Love will always lead us to virtue. And so that's what we're going to explore on those calls. What I want to do in order to really shape this conversation around how we're going to discuss things, whether or not it's inclining us towards virtue, I want to stand on the shoulders of John Paul II here. And I want to start with, what is this Catholic anthropology? You hear this word, we kind of need to do a little bit of a definition for it. It's going to be very, 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 very high level for this. But I also want to do a very, 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 very high level, just wave tops of his personalism as well. Okay. So all of this is coming to understand what it means to be human, and therefore how do we live virtuously? How do we live our lives in a way that brings about true happiness, true beatitude? Those are the two primordial questions that JP2 asked in the Theology of the Body. Quick side story here. So I knew that I was seeing this personalism recently come up all over the place. And Aaron and I have been avid Theology of the Body students for well over a decade now, gone to the immersion course a number of times at the TOB Institute. I recommend anybody do it. It's an amazing experience if you're able to make any of those courses. I know they're offering them online right now. I knew that I wanted to learn a little bit more about this personalism. Well, got a new spiritual director recently, and I was asking him if he had any resources to help me to understand John Paul II's personalism. And he goes, "It's funny you should ask. I wrote my doctoral thesis on how John Paul II's personalism was his foundation for the theology of the body." And I went, "Oh my goodness gracious, this is just amazing how God works to qualify the called," right? Because I am not qualified to talk on these things, but I'm going to do my best here. Okay, so Catholic anthropology. We talk about Catholic anthropology, Catholic understanding of what it means to be human. There's three important pieces of this. We're not going to go into these too deep, but again, created first in the image and likeness of God. There's something distinct about us from the animals, right? And John Paul II looks at this in the reality of three different types of man, right? There's original man, right? So man in the garden before the fall. What can we draw from Genesis, the book of Genesis, and studying man before the fall about how can we come and understand God's original plan, right? Through these experiences of nakedness without shame and original solitude, realizing that after he named all these animals, he didn't find a suitable partner. There was something that was greater in his dignity than of these animals, right? And that conformed, that something that was greater spoke something about God, in whom his image and likeness he was created, right? So that's original man. Then there's historical man. That's his man fallen, right? But also man redeemed, right? So what does that mean? We look at things through the lens of a wounded nature, right? Sin has entered into the world, but also a redeemer has entered into the world, right? So what does this mean about what it means to be human now? And then finally, there's eschatological man, which is a big word for saying man, like in the beatific vision beyond on other side of heaven, we will not experience that man until after we die. Okay. So it gives us an idea though of where we're going, the ultimate beatitude. It's important to know that because how we use our God-given talents on this side of heaven needs to be understood in our ultimate destiny. All right. Is this something that is contributing to us moving and hitting a milestone on the way to beatitude? Or is it deviating us off that course of our ultimate end, our ultimate teleos? Okay, so we're creating the image and likeness of God, got a fallen nature, but we're also not fallen nature, but a wounded nature, and we're also redeemed. Okay, so we are, which means that our strengths can show up virtuously or viciously, right? But also we've got a God that can help us to show up, that has condescended, died for us, so we now, with his power, show up virtuously yet again. By his grace, we go. We are body and soul composite. This is another thing. Distinct from the animals, we are body, soul, and composite. What does this mean? We have the ability to think about our thinking. That's just one of the things that it means. We have the ability to reflect. And what's beautiful about this is we actually have the ability to act freely. Freely. More on this in John Paul II's personalism in a moment. And finally, we are created male and female. What does this mean? John Paul II looks at this and says, the man is not meant to be alone. We are meant to be in communion. So again, if we're looking at our strengths in conformance with living as we are meant to live, our Catholic anthropology, are our strengths inclining us? Are we, the way that we're using, are they inclining us to live in a way that is complementary? In a way that is, dare I say, spousal? John Paul II talks about this spousal analogy where what I have in my giftedness conforms to a poverty that you have, and you're willing to say yes to the gift that I'm willing to give to you. And there's a beautiful exchange that takes place, a union that takes place that has a fruit that is born forth from it. Love it. So John Paul II in his personalism kind of dives deeper into the human experience with this. All right. What is this personalism? I've got five little wave tops I want to hit with this. But again, this is going to call back to, I'm laying the backdrop to how we're going to talk about whether something is virtuous. Is it inclining us to conform to John Paul II's understanding, St. John Paul II's understanding of what it means to be human, the Catholic Church's understanding of what it means to be human as revealed by Christ. So he talks first off the absolute dignity of persons. Where does he draw this from? He draws this from the absolute dignity of persons on a natural level based on our, the gift of our God-given reason. Remember, this is standing on top of that Catholic anthropology that we're a body-soul composite, right? Can't separate the two. A lot of our problems happen. A lot of our heresies happen. A lot of our confusion of the world happens when we try to separate these two, folks. And the body is something that's just a tool. And we have a very dualistic understanding of the person. But rather, John Paul II in his personalism says our dignity is wrapped up in the fact that we have on a very natural level, that we have a reason, but on a supernatural level, in that God became man. God became man so that man might become God, as we read in the scriptures. Amazing stuff. We have such an amazing dignity. Okay. Another bullet point here. Self-determination. Every person has a unique personal end and has freedom to choose their end. John Paul II goes, to this extent, we actually have kind of a co-creative capacity. We get to be a creator of ourselves within boundaries, certainly. But think of it, what he means by this is like, okay, I want to be a strengths coach. So I am going to choose with my will to go to Gallup Strength Certification. And I'm going to choose to go to the Theology of the Body Institute. And so doing, I am shaping myself. I am using my freedom, God-given freedom, to shape myself, to be a somewhat of a co-creator, a collaborator. Folks, this takes nothing away from God. He is still the ultimate creator. But what it does is it shows the generosity of God and what he is inviting us to steward, rather. So self-determination. This is oftentimes where we get into trouble, where our personal end, right? That key phrase there, personal end, is in conflict with somebody else or seemingly in conflict with somebody else's personal end. I want chicken. She wants fish. I want Mexican tonight. She wants Italian. Right? Two personal ends, seeming conflict that's there, right? But we all have freedom to choose. Because of this freedom to choose, we also have this ability to possess ourselves. Persons have this interior life. We have thoughts and feelings. We think about our thoughts and our feelings, folks. That's, we're always talking about it, Metanoia Catholic. Are we stewarding this God-given gift well? I remember Christopher West, the way he talks about, like, chickens do not look at the stars and can't contemplate, what does it mean to be a chicken? Right? This is something unique to humans, all right? And it stems from this beautiful freedom that we're endowed with, all right? And this interior life that we have, but also an interior life that we can be aware of. We can be students of it. So as we're looking through, as we're kind of going on this journey together and we're experiencing our strengths, we want to even be students of what our experience is of our strengths. What's the experience of your responsibility showing up? What's the experience of your command showing up? What's the experience of your woo showing up or your relator showing up? That's going to be an important thing that we're capable to do as persons in order to start to consider how we might live out these God-given talents virtuously. Okay? So we have an interior life and we have absolute freedom and we have the ability to govern our own acts so that we can have self-possession. The beautiful thing about self-possession is that when we can come to possess ourselves, it doesn't end there, but we can actually enter a place of self-donation. Persons are made for communion and come to know themselves through communion with another. Gaudium et spes, John Paul II quoted all the time. Man cannot know himself except through a sincere gift of self. So as we come to, and then also, finally here, love is the proper response always to a person. We can never use a person as a means to an ends. But then how do we, John Paul II questions, this is kind of tough. Like, how do we enter in relationships where there's an obvious utilitarian exchange that's taking place? We're like, hey, I'm a factory worker. I have workers here that are, you know, they're doing things so that I can turn a profit with my business? How do I acknowledge the fact that they have their own personal ends in mind and I don't use them as a means to an end? And how do I love them? Well, when two people choose the same personal ends, that becomes the very foundation for a loving relationship. They now get to choose to will together of their own accord in complete freedom that same ends. And we see this called a communion of marriage. We see this called a communion in working relationships. It's the worst when somebody has a different end in mind and they're on the team and we can't resolve that end, right? It's just better to kind of allow that person to kind of go pursue their own ends, right? It's very fragmenting. But rather, when we can have a supreme good that we're all seeking, if we can come to recognize what beatitude is, and as a church start marching towards that together, we can truly will the good of one another. We can truly love as God loves, which is really the foundational scripture of John Paul II's personalism. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. How we doing? I want to get into how to read this report. And I can do a real quick one here for how people are the newcomers to the call. But I want to hear back from you. Let's just take, 3 to 5 minutes right now before I dive into the report and do a quick how do you read through your report for the first time? Any thoughts on what I've just shared? Jenna, I see your face popping up here. And I know you're high in communication and you are gifted in intellect and you think and you can communicate your thoughts.
Well, all of those are true. Ah. Hello. Well, I was just turning my face on so that you could get a little giftedness. More facial reaction to what you were saying in case that mattered to you. Okay. So many great thoughts. I love this personalism that keeps popping up lately. I think it's really interesting because I was exposed to strengths, a while ago, I guess a couple of years ago, and retook my assessment actually last summer and, just really enjoyed diving in with this understanding. At that point, I was kind of starting with the Metanoia Catholic world and understanding mm-hmm. how all of those things intersect. And yeah, it's definitely been a lesson of, especially in these conversations in recent months, of looking at how our virtues and vices and all of those things, how I am not my strengths. I am not those things. I love to think of it. Justin actually said this analogy in our little chat, and it was the symphony, of all of these pieces that are working together to create the person as a whole. And I can get very lost in the weeds, very detail oriented of like, oh, this strength is popping up in this one and get almost a little bit too attached to them. But it's really beautiful when I can zoom out and see how they all really do work together and how it's like I can be really kind to each of my strengths, no matter how I feel about them at the moment, whether I'm frustrated or annoyed. Michelle brought up that analogy of the boardroom of like seeing each of the strengths is like my top 10 is like at people in a boardroom, and I think that allows me to give that space to each of them instead of like wanting to be like, you shut up, you sit down, you be quiet. Like, to be really kind to myself and to all those parts of myself that really want a piece of the action. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Right.
Beautiful. Now. Yeah. Beautiful. Seeing those strengths, it's all part of the self-possession so that it can only be made that self-donation so that we can be gift, right? What's the point of having these strengths if they're just something that we use for ourselves? And people keep dropping this name, Michelle Dunn. I hope, Michelle, I know you're on here. I hope that we see your face. And I know that you're a phlegmatic personality. And so you don't necessarily cut in, right? But I want to create a space for your phlegmatic and for your wisdom to show up because, Michelle, you've been doing this for well over a decade and you've got different credentials in this as well. I want you to be a regular contributor on this call. You've already done so much to help me to better understand my strengths.
Well, Matt, I like your John Paul II framework because in the art of coaching with strengths, which is what I learned, we always talk about self-awareness comes first, right? And then others' awareness, and then situational awareness. So as you move through this in these podcasts, I'm really looking forward to see how that all fits in because we always want to go, you know, once we learn about ourselves, we start pointing to other people and be like, oh, that's why you do that. Right. And so the self-determination and the self-possession piece really allows us to say, oh, now I have this freedom to understand this is why I do this. And I can choose to temper it or tame it. And I understand why other people are doing it, and I can give them grace, right? We frequently, we want to
bear one another's burdens patiently. Yeah. Galatians 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just self-awareness, others' awareness. It just gives us so much more space for grace.
Yeah. And I love what you said there, Michelle, and I'm glad you brought it up because I have not used it yet. So Gallup will drill in, name it, claim it, and aim it, right? Name it, come to understand what that signature theme is, claim it. How is it showing up uniquely in your life? And what's your own experience of it? And then aim it, like direct it towards a worthy cause. Here at Metanoia Catholic, we want to go name it, claim it, tame it, and aim it. And the tame it is all really the focus of this podcast here, of how do we live our strengths in a way that is virtuous, in a way that builds up the kingdom, in a way that calls us to be saints, in a way that is purifying and sanctifying, even when it's painful, in a way that inclines us to really come to know and embrace our vocation. The strengths do not give us our actual vocation. They do not give us our mission. But they are certainly, they can't be separated from what the journey of becoming and being that vocation. We can't segment them out. They're part of who we are. And I remember even asking a question, what is the overlay between strengths and your charisms, right? Your God-given charisms. And I remember Al Wintzman, who is a great guy, he wrote, co-authored the book, Living Your Strengths, Catholic Edition. And he talks about the charism is your what. It's the what of your mission, but your strengths is the how you're going to get it done, the unique way that you're going to get it done.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Indeed. Lord, have mercy. All right, we're going to move on here. Very perfectly timed. We're going to jump here just into the actual report for some people that have never read this before. And I'm going to share how I like to take people through this report. All right. Okay. So I'm going to look at my report here. These are my strengths. All right. And if you guys want to, on these call, create these little backdrops that have like your, or even name yourselves with like kind of your top five or something like that, it's often very helpful. When we start doing our actual strengths calls, I'll ask that through the Gallup app, you actually share your strengths with me. So I can be privy of those things and we can actually pop them up on the screen and we kind of coach along with the context of those strengths. Okay. So how do I read this report and how do I encourage other people? I'm just on page one of this report. All right. So first of all, you'll probably notice that we have this nice little DNA strand here. All right. And there's colors associated with that. There's four different colors that are on the full 34 report. They're associated with the four different domains of executing, influencing, relationship, and strategic thinking. So if you hear me on the call say, you got a lot of green, I'm saying you got a lot of strategic thinking themes. Or you got a lot of purple in there, you got a lot of executing themes that are in there, okay? And it does this little pivot here right at the divine between your top 10 and then everything else that follows. Gallup will say that your top 10 strengths are what they would call, or top 10 signature themes, or your top 10 talents are your dominant talents. What are our dominant talents? They're the ones that we live in most habitually, especially your top five. They'll say those are areas of unconscious competency. You just act. You see the world through them naturally without thinking. Oftentimes we perceive everybody sees the world through this, and we can't understand when other people do not see the world through our top five, right? As we come to understand our top five and see the distinctions, we can grow to receive how people can have a different perspective on the world. Okay, so that's your dominant themes. Your bottom five, all right, that 30 to 34 are often referred to as your lesser themes, not your weaknesses, They're not your weaknesses. Every single one of these talents is accessible to us. So the fact that command is my number 34 or empathy is my number 31 does not mean that I'm weak in empathy or I'm weak in command. It just means that I don't habitually show up that way, in the way that at least how Gallup defines those signature themes. And then everything in between we have are those supporting themes. Those are the ones that we can call, but it may take a little bit more energy. So if I look at living in the talents, the habitual ways of thinking, feeling, and acting in my dominant themes, they're the ones that are going to take the least amount of energy and dedicated thinking for me, dedicate my conscious effort. It's going to be much more habitual. The ones that are in my supporting themes, I've got greater access to those. I can still bring, say, my number 16 intellection or my number 17 woo to the forefront, but it's something that may take a little bit more consciousness, asserted effort to get it there. And then ultimately, my lesser themes, those are the ones where I don't want to enter into a job that demands I perform well in harmony, empathy, includer, adaptability, and command. I will be miserable in that job because it will take me, it's not that I can't deliver, I'll never be able to deliver excellently. And that's what Gallup would say. You can improve each one of these areas, but I'm never going to be excellent in my lesser themes. I can have excellence in my dominant themes, and that's where I can have my greatest impact. Think of it as God has set us on this earth already with momentum in these habitual ways of thinking, feeling, and acting that are inclining us towards our God-given vocation. And when we can kind of start to know them, embrace them, tame them, live virtuously, conform our lives to living more in those domains, we're going to experience the fruits of that. And we're going to be experiencing conforming ourselves to God's design for our individual lives. Again, it doesn't take away from God's design for the universal church. It's going to be nested in all of those things as well. Okay. So next thing I like to call people to is this little gray box over here. And it says, you lead with blank domain. I lead with strategic thinking domain. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about what this means when we explore each one of the individual domains, but that's just something to note. As we continue on with this report, next thing I like to do is give you the jump, scroll down until you get to the top five. You're going to see some content in your top five that you won't see anywhere else. In these highlighted shaded boxes, these are descriptions that actually have, they're specific to you. These descriptions, in my case, my number one learner, are not going to be the same as the person that shows up with learner in a different top 10. You're looking at these descriptions through the lens. The algorithm has a way of presenting descriptions of how my learner shows up based on my top 10 and the order of my top 10 or the order of a lot of my different signature themes. And so reading through these, you might oftentimes people say, I feel so seen by my report. Or how does this person, have you known me my entire life? How does this person know so much about me? Okay. But you may read through some of these things and be like, yeah, it doesn't really land. I don't think so. That's the stuff to bring to our coaching calls that we're having. So again, we're going to have the podcast calls in this group, but we'll also have the coaching calls, right? Because ultimately, it would be a shame if you're like, yeah, Gallup didn't really nail this for me. And face it, guys, it's a computer that's putting this together. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in your mother's womb by the very hands of God. The computer's not going to be able to get inside God's head with this. Might be able to have some touchstones, but we're going to be, it's a tool for exploring how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. Okay. And that's really, let's just stop there for how to read through the report. Okay. Folks, we've gone through quite a bit, kind of reaching the top of our hour. I want to keep these things to about an hour discussion. Are there any closing thoughts? I want to open the floor to the room. You guys excited? Any closing thoughts that we have here? Even chat them in, like what's kind of the response that we're getting from this? Karen, I see your head just showed up.
So I'm number five for learner. And so I do think it's interesting how the themes that they talk about under that were different than what yours were.
That is interesting. I've never read anybody else's learner report just yet, or at least in a comparative study on them, but yep.
Yeah, I was curious if like every learner page, you know, was the same profile, but it looks like the highlighted themes underneath that, why it's unique is different based on maybe because of mine's number five or because mm-hmm. of my other strengths that are before it. Do you know if that's
all of the
case?
Above? All okay. of the above. Yeah. So there's certainly an algorithm. I think of the Gallup is always trying to improve on this algorithm. And but they've got so much data that's pouring in right now. And it's Gallup polling systems. Their unique vocation, you could say, is compiling data and making sense out of data and translating data. So yes, it's going to be different. There might be some boxes that read the same as mm-hmm. like say mine would, but you're going to have not every single one of those little green boxes in that case is going to be the same. Okay. All right. Any other closing thoughts, questions? All right. You guys excited? This is going to be a journey. All right. And so if all you guys that are just listening on the podcast, we're going to be exploring here in the coming months ahead of us. We're going to be exploring also the domains. We're going to come out the gate and dive into the domains. But then we're also going to be exploring each one of the signature themes. And every once in a while, I'd love to even bring on some other experts to kind of just share some of the knowledge that's going on. There's almost like an underground Catholic strengths community that's kind of like doing some work here, and it might be neat to get some more perspectives, because Lord knows I'm not the smartest guy in the room when it comes to this stuff, but collectively I think we can really have a fun time learning a little bit more about this. Great. And if you want to have access to those group coaching calls, join the Metanoia Catholic Academy. Go to catholiccoaching.com and you can join these weekly calls that we have and get coached in your strengths in a group call. And there's a ton of other fun stuff in the Metanoia Catholic Academy for you to help you discover and live out your God-given vocation. So, all right, team. Thanks so much. We'll see you again.